What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What if I told you the biggest threat from the LA fires isn't the flames, but what happens after? Thousands of homeowners are being blindsided by canceled policies, skyrocketing premiums, and denied claims. The truth is, the insurance industry is changing the game, and if you're not prepared, you could lose everything. Today, I'm sitting down with two of my guys who are two top insurance experts to expose the secrets that they don't want you to know and show you exactly how to protect your home, your investments, and your future. This isn't just a conversation. This could be a lifeline for somebody. So with that being said, let's get this conversation started. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. You need to share this with at least 10 people today because, like I said, this could be a lifeline for somebody, right? So let me bring on my two guys. Let's get right to it. Bring on my guy, Jeff, my guy, Kev. What's good, fellas? How you guys doing tonight?
Good, MG. How you, brother? Thanks for having me.
No problem, Jeff. No problem. Kev, how you doing tonight, bro?
Good, MG. Happy to be in the building. Going to do everything I can to help anybody and everybody I can.
That's what it is. So, Kev, real quick, just introduce yourself, your experience, so that way the audience knows exactly who you are. Although both of you guys have been on the channel, you both had amazing episodes, but just reintroduce yourself for the first time as we're here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Kevin Spann, insurance guru. 4 decades in the insurance business. 5-time best-selling author, owner,
let's go, Kev. Talk it.
My own 8-figure insurance agency, business coach, hopefully coaching some of you to get into this business so we have more of us that can help more of us do whatever we need to do. Happy to be here. Happy to answer any questions anybody might have.
Jeff.
Jeff Granger of Granger Financial, man. Over 16 years in the business. I put several agents into the insurance business. MDRT qualifier. Every year we sit down and we protect families, man. That's what we do. We protect families and help people figure out how to plan for their financial future. So this is important. It's an important conversation, especially what's happened, you know, in California is important so we can make sure we can educate people through that process. So I'm here to help any way we can.
All right, let's get to it, y'all. So why are so many homeowners seeing their policies canceled or premiums skyrocketing after these fires?
Couple of things I would say is, first, a lot of the policies was canceled before, specifically in California. But don't sleep on whatever state you're in. Cancellations, non-renewals is going on in every state. So the biggest and best advice I can give early is check your policy, check your parents' policy, check your family's policy, and make sure it's active. Number two, as far as rates skyrocketing, I guarantee you without checking everybody's policy that you're probably paying double than what you were 10 years ago. And a lot of it is due to the increase in natural risk that's happening everywhere. So that's just the opening statement. That's what's happening. And the best thing you can do is check the policies for you and yours to make sure it's active.
Jeff, same question to you. What's your thoughts on that? Why are we seeing so many policies being canceled from insurance companies, not just in LA, but just nationwide?
Well, I mean, to speak to nationwide, I think insurance companies are businesses, right? And they take assessment of their business every year and they look at ways to be more profitable and make sense of the risks that they're insuring. If we're specifically talking about California, I think there's a lot of misinformation being sent around when policies are canceled, because there's a lot of information that'll tell you legally you have to give a certain amount of notice before policies canceled. So when I see in the media that a policy was canceled the night before the fire happens, I mean, it could have happened, right? But I don't believe that it happened in that manner because the fire was happening, right? It could have been that was the last day for them to find insurance for another carrier before they left the previous carrier. So I think there's a lot of misinformation, and our job here is to make sure we educate. As far as the increase in insurance premiums after the fire, that's also a misnomer, right? Because the Department of Insurance Commissioner in the state of California is responsible for approving any rate that the insurance carriers submit to the state. And from what I understand, the max rate that they can give in California is about 7%. I could be off with that number, but I know it's not more than 10. And if you think about skyrocketing premiums, it has to be commensurate with the risk. So if you look at a home in California that, MG, you can speak to this, pre-COVID may have been a $1 million home. Post-COVID, it's a $1.8 million home. But if we keep the insurance the same on that home and don't charge more premium for the risk, when a fire does happen, you may not be able to rebuild that home because you don't have enough coverage. So there's a lot of things working that we have to make sure that we understand all of the information in order to make sure it's case by case and person by person when it comes down to what really happened.
Well, if you look at, and I definitely understand that point, right? Homes appreciate, insurances have to rise, just like if home appreciates, your property taxes are going to rise too, right? That's like the gift and the curse of home appreciation, right? The cost of owning that home is also going to increase. But when you look at companies like State Farm, last year, March of 2024, they announced that they were not renewing almost 30,000 homes and condominiums in California, including around 1,600 in Pacific Palisades of the Los Angeles area, right? That is an astronomical number, y'all. 30,000 policies were not renewed. Like, why are these companies not renewing these policies at that much scale?
MG, that's a great question. And you asked the most important question that every homeowner and everybody tuned in this live should ask. Why? Insurance companies, Jeff gave a great answer. Insurance companies assess risk. They're in the risk partnership business with you. They share the risk to indemnify you, to make you whole, God forbid, if anything goes wrong. But insurance companies also do their homework. They look at water when it gets warmer. They look at the trees that were falling down in California, and they know the predictability that, God forbid, if there is an uncontrollable fire with winds at the rate that they're coming, that they may not be able to take care of everything. So they get out of it before it happens, coupled with the great jewels that Jeff dropped, the fact that they could not get the rates to the points where they needed to get it to in order to stay in business. I can't speak for that company or any company. I'm an agent. I'm not a company owner or representative. But if I can't charge a fair product for my price, I have to bounce. And that's what they did. Because they couldn't get a price, they left. And if they did it last March, they're required by law, every state's a little bit different, to give advance notification. Now, I don't want to sound like a shill for the companies and advocating for them, but these are tough love conversations. And for everyone, first, let me say this. Thoughts and prayers with all the families that are impacted.
Definitely.
I believe my latest reading is that 24 lives were lost. That's the most valuable asset that's been lost here. It's greater than the value of all the homes and cars combined.
Definitely.
So first, thoughts and prayers. But secondly, when that happens, there's a couple of options. One, there's a low budget option that's really bad, which is the state fair plan. The second option is there might be a higher cost option where you have to pay much more to get insurance with a company that's willing to take a risk in California. But that's going to take some people out when you're looking at homeowners maybe not having the cash flow. And for what the listeners on this call can do, if when we're talking about this, you're thinking about your family, your generational wealth, whatever homes that are owned in your family. Have the tough love conversation with your family. When you have dinner and you get together for the Super Bowl, watch the game in the background, but have the hard conversation at the table. Ma, dad, auntie, uncle, walk me through the numbers. What does it cost for us to stay here? Are you good on your retirement income? Can I throw you something so we can keep up? Because some of the families that got hit were on fixed income and maybe they couldn't step up to pay more money for the broken price of the higher policy.
Mm. Jeff, you want to add anything to that?
I definitely do. I think the first thing to say is that understand that Kevin and I are giving you guys information from the inside of understanding the business, right? Having been in the inside and been on the pricing teams, we can speak to it from an insurance perspective. But by no means does that mean we're defending the insurance businesses, right? We're just giving you the insight so that you can understand and make more informed buying decisions. So to add to what you're saying, why State Farm may or may not, they did cancel 30,000 policies, right? And they say homes and condominiums. But in some of the articles I read, they were called dwelling fires. And sometimes as a consumer, if you don't know what a dwelling fire is, it's a second home for someone or an investment property. So when a company looks at how they want to assess risk, they may say, hey, we're not going to cancel people's primary residence, but that doesn't come out in the media. What comes out is they're just canceling policies, but they may cancel the secondary home and keep the primary residence and say, hey, this is too much risk for us to take on as a company. You can put your second home with another carrier. We'll keep your primary residence. So I don't know if you saw the article when the lady said, or the video where she was talking to Gavin Newsom, and she said, we have people losing not only one home, but two. They were living in one and building another, right? And those instances at times, that's the policy that they may cancel, the other policy, not the primary residence. So there's a lot more to dig deeper into. Yes, insurance companies make billions of dollars. They are a for-profit business. They do have employees that they have to pay, and they do have sometimes investors that they have to tend to. But that does not negate the fact of the human part of how we, us as a community, Kevin, myself, sit with each one of our customers and let them know that, hey, this is what your policy is, and this is what it means to you. If you get a notice of cancellation from my office, you get a phone call from myself or one of my agents that says, hey, your policy is going to be canceled because of X. We need to move you to one of the other companies that we have, or we need to find another agent that can take your risk on immediately. And we work that all the way through to you get a new policy, 100%.
So my thing is this, right? And I definitely understand that explanation. And chat, let me know if you understand exactly what Kev and Jeff were just saying. So if you guys understand that explanation. But my thing is this. If it's a second home investment property, if I'm paying you on time, right? If I've been a customer for years and I'm paying you and you're making money, why are you dropping and canceling or not renewing these insurance policies if I have multiple policies and homes insured under your umbrella? Like, I feel as if, me personally, it shouldn't matter about if it's a second home or investment property. It should matter if, do I have good payment history? Is my credit good, right? Am I loyal to you by having multiple policies with you? Why are we getting dropped and not getting renewed? Like, make it make sense for us, guys.
I'll make sense. Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Go, Jeff.
MJ, you said it right in there. You said, if I'm paying you on time and you're making money, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a real quick example, real life example. One of my friends lives in California, lives in Studio City, right? He has a $2 million home. His insurance is $3,300 a year. I live in Virginia. I have $1 million home. My insurance is $3,000 for the year. But my risk is different in Northern Virginia where I live. the most I may have is a hurricane or a break-in. In California, you got wildfire, you got earthquake, you have theft. All of these things factor in, but he's only paying $300 more in premium than me for two times the amount of risk if something were to happen catastrophic. So when you talk about pricing the product in a way that makes sense, it has to make sense from a price standpoint. But the way insurance works, it's a pool of money that is spread over everyone. Now, let me give you the example. He's paying $3,300 a year. He has a $2 million home, MG. Mm-hmm. If he's paying $3,300 a year times 10 years, that's $33,000 that he's paid into this policy. And let's say in year 11, he has the claim where the house burns to the ground. Now we're going to pay out $1.2, $1.4 million to rebuild that home because we don't include the land in that $2 million cost. But you only took in $33,000. Now, if it happens to one person, then that may make sense if you're collecting the right price. But if it happens to the whole entire block and you've only been kept collecting 50% of what you should have been collecting, now as a business, you run a deficit. Now, I'm not in agreement with it. This is where we go back to talking to our Department of Insurance Commissioner in the state of California, because this isn't a new issue. This has been going on for 15, 20 years. Companies have been trying to leave the state of California because they can't get the right price approved by the insurance commissioner. So to answer the question, doesn't mean that I agree with it, but I do understand if I'm not getting the right price, I may have to say this type of risk no longer fits my appetite for my business to make money and still be profitable. And most importantly, pay out all of the claims if it happens like it just did, where an entire block or community is gone. Let's say every one of those homes were insured by one carrier. It could mm-hmm. bankrupt the carrier at that point.
They're done.
It's time to go home. The added factor to what you said, forgive me if I quote this wrong, but California has a law called Proposition 103, I believe is called. And basically, MG, they're operating the insurance business on 1988 pricing models. So think about that from a real estate perspective for a second. 1988, double-digit insurance rates, double-digit interest rates. So when you're operating from a model and the state doesn't work with you and allow you to adjust with the time, with all the things that have happened post-pandemic, rising cost of labor, rising cost of material, greater risk of natural disasters, you can't begin to break even. I love the example that Jeff broke down of the $1 million house, only $33,000 in premium. That's a bad day in Vegas every day of the week. $33,000 in, you walk out with $1 million. Yeah, I can imagine what's in the comments. That's a come up for the person, but real bad for the company. But MG, let me go to a place that you went to, describing yourself as a multi-line loyal customer, because I think a lot of people in the comments are probably there in their heart. I'm doing my part. Kev, I'm with you. Jeff, I'm with you. Why me? Why not get rid of those people who aren't good payers, who aren't bundled up with you? Unfortunately, that's not the way insurance works. It's a pool. We're all in this together. We all have to put that money in the slot machines, and hopefully only one or two of us have a claim at a time. This, what happened last week, is a doomsday scenario. It is Armageddon, literally, and I'm not being dramatic when I say it. It is the worst case scenario that unfortunately a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, when insurance companies were going to bat with the politicians that run the state of California, asking for the pricing adjustment so they could slowly raise rates to charge the right amount to stay in business. Those efforts were rejected. So here we are in a god-awful position. And who's impacted? The people that can afford it the least.
The people that get ordered the least. So, all right, so let's talk about this, right? Because the insurance companies are going to do what insurance companies do, right? They're going to protect themselves before they protect the people, right? And I know people don't want to hear that, but that's just the God's honest truth. We can sit here and have our own opinions, thoughts, and processes about this whole situation or just any natural disaster or anything that happens that's not the person's fault that is happening to, right? But these insurance companies are going to protect their bottom line, and it is what it is. How do we, as homeowners, as investors, as renters, how do we protect ourselves in the event of natural disasters like we're seeing here in LA with the wildfires, right? What should homeowners look for in their policies or when they're going out to buy new properties or renew their policies, right, to ensure that they are fully covered, not just for wildfire or just fire damages, but for any natural disaster that could potentially happen? Jeff, on you.
Man, I think that the most important part of that is who you buy your insurance from, right? I think a lot of these companies, which I don't agree with in working in the industry, has made it a commodity, right? Like you can just go online and just buy your policy. And no disrespect to any consumer, but the average consumer does not understand what they're purchasing at a high level. So for me, I think the most important part is who you buy your policy from, whether it's an agency or someone that can explain to you exactly what you're purchasing. That's one. For me, I think it's the value of having a good insurance agent that you work with. Number two, the company that you buy your policy from. Do they have the amount of money to pay out claims in the event that something catastrophic happens? We want to make sure that they're not going to be insolvent. And when you buy your policy from an insurance agent, right, we have what they call errors and omissions insurance. So what that means, MG, is if I tell you a policy that I did not protect you properly and I omitted facts or I made a gross error in the selling of your pot, the distribution of your policy, I can be held liable as an agent at that point. And that's the added layer of protection you have when working with a local agency versus just buying the policy online, direct through the company, in my mind. The second part of it is your overall education. We need to educate ourselves on insurance because it is boring, right? And it's not fun. It's not cool to be an insurance agent. Right. The average age of an insurance agent is a 52-year-old white male in this industry. Well, the reason I got in this business is to make insurance cool again, because for me, I understand that insurance backstops everything that goes on in this country. Can't buy a mortgage without insurance. Can't do some business deals without insurance. Can't do an SBA loan unless you got life insurance. So when you talk about insurance, it backstops everything that we do. So to answer the question and close out the loop, who you buy the policy from, what company are you going with, and what is the education process that you've had and you got your questions answered from who you bought your policy from?
Kev, let me ask you, for real estate investors, how can they protect their portfolios if their properties are in high-risk areas?
Same thing what Jeff just said. You have to have a relationship with a local agent that knows those high risk areas. So let's talk coastal around the country. California, New Orleans, Florida, come up the coast, the whole Atlantic Coast seaboard. If you're buying and investing in those areas, buy insurance from a local agent that understands the risks in those areas that can properly protect you from floods, from wind. If you're buying on the Mississippi, buy with protection to protect the rising water. Who shouldn't you buy from? You should not buy insurance from a .com or an 800 number with an agent based in another country that doesn't understand you, doesn't understand your risk. MG, one of the things I talked about in my first book, The Property Insurance Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Better Insurance Before Losing Everything, was specifically for your audience of real estate investors that's really learning from you, enrolled in your workshops. If you're not getting MG's workshops, he's teaching you right how to buy, invest from the single family to the multifamily. But don't take shortcuts when it comes to your insurance. Do not compromise yourself by buying a home insurance policy when you should have an investment property. a landlord insurance policy, because that will get your claim denied as well. Hook me up. I told him it would be $100 per month. Get it through for that, then fix it later. No, don't fall for the okie doke. Think long term. MG is teaching you how to be a millionaire, not a thousandaire or a nickel dimer. So when you get that, what's the other thing I would add to it? Exactly what Jeff said. Relationship, relationship, relationship. And the relationship is based on the annual review. Have the conversation. If you don't have a person such as myself, such as Jeff, or many other incredible local agents around the country to talk to, two thoughts. Number one, find one. And if you can't find one, become one.
Yeah.
Good shit. Shit. I love that. So how can homeowners become a better advocate for themselves when filing a claim to ensure that they get what they are owed? Because I think that's going to be a big issue in LA with these fires right now, right? When it's time to really file these claims. So what are like three things, Kev, that homeowners can do to better advocate for themselves when filing these claims?
First thing, everybody listening to this, take your phone and walk through your house and do a digital inventory of your crib. Walk in your bedroom. This is my bedroom set. I got it from Ray Moore and Flanagan. $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is. There's the bed, there's the dresser, blah, blah, blah. Walk through all the rooms. This is my sneaker collection. This is my jewelry collection, itemized. Digitally document what you have, because let me tell you what's going to happen in California. You will forget. You'll remember the big ticket items. You won't remember the other stuff. You don't have receipts. You don't have the credit cards from way back in. So if you want to do one action item after this call, digitally document your house. Record it. Keep it for yourself. Number two, find your home insurance policy, the company, and the agent. MG, that's a big mistake that people make.
What's the difference between the three?
Okay. Say it again. What's the difference between
the three you just named? You said the agent, the
policy.
The policy.
And the company. Because they're three different things. Because this is what people think. MG, if you bless me and you qualify me for a mortgage, when I ask people who's their insurance with MG, he got me. No. He got you to own the house. He got the financing, but the insurance is with somebody else. What is the name of that company? Sometimes that company is a .com. There are no agents. They're just a direct carrier. Sometimes it has an agent. The name is Kevin Spann or Jeff Granger. And Jeff Granger and Kevin Spann have phone numbers. We are accessible. You need a person to talk to. Find out who that person is and call them tomorrow. Hey, Jeff, it's Kev. Walk me through my policy. Tell me what I have. Walk me through it. Make it make sense. MG is putting us to task here tonight, and I appreciate it. He's coming back and saying, make it make sense. Do the exact same thing to your insurance agent or company tomorrow. The person who does not insure your home is your bank. Your bank writes the check through escrow, but they are not the insurer. I have received too many calls over the years from people that have fires at 11 o'clock at night and they don't have anybody to call. Now they're working backwards of who the heck is my policy with? I don't know. The bank paid it. If that's your situation, look at your escrow statement tonight. Find the name of the company and work backwards and ask them the claim question that MG just asked us. So that's what you want to do. Who has your policy? And if they don't pick up the phone quickly, start shopping with someone else.
Good thing. Jeff, you want to add on to that real quick?
No, I think he hit it on the head from what you need to do, man. I think that's very valuable.
Okay. So are there any tactics that insurance companies use to avoid paying out claims after a disaster like this wildfire in LA?
I would say the tactics that are used, a covered peril is a covered peril. If something is covered, if it's fire, rain, water, whatever the cause is, it's covered. If it's not covered, then it's not. The trickiest claim is not fire. Fire is across the board covered. Wind is covered across the board. If you have a policy, those two perils are covered. The hardest peril in the world to sell and explain is water. water is covered sometimes if there's an explosion inside of a house. But if water enters from outside the house, surface water comes into your house and it's across your neighbors, that's a flood. Without flood insurance, you are not covered with flood insurance. So that's the difference. Know where you are, know what risks are faced in the community that you're in, and work with a local agent that is a local expert in that area that can properly explain it to you. You may not like the numbers. It may not be the cheapest, but buy what's best. You didn't buy the cheapest house. You bought the best property to live in or to invest in, not to be cheap.
Yeah. Hmm. Go ahead, Jeff. You want to add something to that?
I always tell my customers, price is only an issue when value is absent.
Yeah.
Nobody walks into the Louis Vuitton store and asks, what's the price? Mm-hmm. If they see it, they like it, they buy it. And that's a reality when it comes down to insurance at the same time. You should be price conscious, but you should be more about, what am I getting? What is the value of this policy bringing me? Is it with the company that I want to be with? Is the agent represent this company? Then that's where I want to be as far as my policy is concerned. I think, MG, there's a lot of different ways you can skin this cat as far as, do insurance companies do have tactics? Whenever you have a traumatic situation, anything that does not go your way in that situation becomes a perceived tactic. Are there some adjusters that aren't friendly and they don't have good bedside manner? You doggone right. I dealt with it with myself. When I had a car accident, I didn't have a car for 8 months. I was renting cars because my rental insurance coverage ran out. To me, as my own agent, it happened to me as well, because right after COVID, we didn't have supply chain. We had supply chain issues. So we experienced those things too, but it was frustrating. It was, well, where's the insurance company? Why aren't they doing stuff? Why can't they help me at this point in time? So there's a lot of things that go into it. The bedside manner of people, how you're treated, is very important. And it goes back to relationship. It begs the question of how you handle these situations. And it's just hard. There's no way to say, hey, here's a blank check for all your stuff. And we talked about trauma, and that's why going through with the camera to check all of your items makes sense. But it's also good, a note, to have appraisals, digital appraisals for items in your email for things that are important. Like if grandma gave you a metal spoon or a silver spoon or an old pair of earrings, you may think those earrings are worth $20,000 and an insurance company doesn't want to disrespect you, but they may only be worth $200. So you have to get appraisals on those items and keep those things digital for the things that are important to you. Now, is all of it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Will there be some things that look shady and don't go correctly from an insurance company perspective? I'm 100% going to stand here and say, yeah, I don't stand by them and say they're right in every situation. But I do say there's laws and there's policies and procedures that have been put in place to protect consumers that we have to make sure as agents and as consumers that we hold these people to the fire when it comes down to these situations.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing? I forgot. I think it's a good tip for the people, probably the best tip I'll give tonight. Here's a question, the best question you can ask to hold your current company or your current agent accountable. After they tell you what's covered for this $3,000, $1,500, what it is, here's the next question to ask. What's not covered? What's not covered? If they say full coverage, run away. Nothing is full coverage. All policies have limits. There's a stated amount that they'll rebuild the house for. There's a stated amount of how long we'll put your family in a hotel. Everything has a limit. If they say full coverage, run away. So that's tip number one. Ask one question. What is not covered in my policy? After they tell you everything. The second thing, you asked about what could help in a claim. This is a helpful tip. Jeff is 1,000% right. We are not here to defend insurance companies globally and say they're right all the time. There is an industry called the public adjuster industry. So if you feel like you're being shaken, not responded to, or your insurance company is trying to circumvent paying the claim, you can hire a public adjuster. They will work with you for a fee. They will help you get the best settlement you can get. They'll take a few dollars off the top, but it would be the same as going to court with a lawyer. If you don't feel like you have an agent that's advocating for you, a public adjuster is an advocate that you can hire.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The answers to what's not covered is a couple of things. Any good insurance agent should tell you two things right away. Flood insurance is not in anybody's policy, number one. Number two, life insurance is not included in your policy. So there's no provision in this policy to pay off the mortgage if something happens to you, your significant other, or other investors. So that's something you want to do separate. Number three, there's a lot of parts of coverage that have certain limits of coverage, such as your jewelry, your watches, your rings. You might be a gun collector, an art collector. We talked about art in prep for this call. So if you have some specialty things that are unique to you and everybody does, those things may not be covered. So I have to ask in what's not covered, and they say full coverage. So you mean my $30,000 Rolly is good? Okay. You mean my wife's $50,000 ring is good? Okay. That's an errors and omission. That's an errors and omission saying that is covered when it's not. Most jewelry varies by company. It's going to be $1,000 per item to $2,500 per item. So if you're out here blinging and shining, get protected. Ask the hard questions and get separate coverage.
Yeah, all of that is separate and apart. Flood insurance, jewelry insurance, all of that is separate and apart. But I like the tips that you both, and you got me thinking, like doing a digital inventory of your properties as you get new furniture, this, that, and third, create like a Dropbox or a Google Drive, upload it in there, have everything appraised, things that have meaningful value to you, that have real value that you can go out and sell and things like that and make money, you know, have those things appraised. I always say to people too, if you have a lot of jewelry and stuff like that, it's probably safe to keep them in like a safe deposit box. Mm-hmm. In a bank or something like that, just so if God forbid someone wants to break in your home or anything like that, you already know the times that we're living in, the fools are breaking in homes. You know, you don't really have none of your valuable jewelry and stuff like that there. So I thought those were definitely great tips that you guys gave. So let's get to some insider tips for shopping around for the best policies, not just in high risk areas, just in any area in America, right? Because as a homeowner, you know, most people, they think because the bank is paying the mortgage in their they're paying the insurance in their mortgage payment, that the bank is going to really care if their policy increases or decreases, right? Because there's always an escrow analysis every single year, and the bank is just going to, whatever the bill is, they're going to pay it, right? And some people are blindsided by it because they're not checking their mail, they're not looking at these escrow analysis. But what I like to tell all my clients and mentees is like, look, insurance is something that you're not married to for a long term, right? Every single year, you can fire your insurance company and go with another insurance company to keep your overall mortgage payment and cost as low as you possibly can. So what are some insider tips that you guys both have? I'm going to start with you, Jeff, then I'm going to come back to you, Kev. When shopping for insurance policy, not always the cheapest is the best, and I think you guys explained that very well today, But what are some of these things that are questions or things that we can do to make sure that we are getting the best policy for our homes?
I think there's a twofold way to do it, right? You can go to the major carriers one by one, or you can go to a broker like myself, where I represent over 50, 60 carriers, where we can shop all of those carriers at one time and make sure we give you the best rate. And then our competitive advantage, not just selling who we are as an agency, but our competitive advantage is every time your renewal comes up, because we don't want to lose you as a client, we automatically reshop you and try and find you the best rate. Not try. We automatically reshop you and find you the best rate. And we call our customers not only when we got to tell them there's a decrease, but we call them when there's an increase and let them know, hey, this policy's going up. We're going to reshop this. Your policy will renew on the 28th of January. We'll find you a new policy by then. If the price isn't commensurate to what you want to be paying, you can shop it and let us know as well. We are that way because if I'm honest and I'm upfront with you, you'll trust me and stay with me for longer. So what we do is we shop our clients. I would tell people to check with the major carriers. You have your State Farm, your Allstate, your Travelers, your Safeco, National General. They don't write home, but they broker it out. But you have carriers that can go out and find those policies for you. But I think the education piece of it is the most important. We as a community have to stop allowing people to tell us that this is what it comes with. We need to figure out what's included in it, right? We need the ingredients for grandmama's fried chicken. She just can't keep telling me this. It is what it is. I need to know what's included in that so that I can make this recipe for my financial future look really, really good. And that means taking some onus on us to really delve into why is this price? Because guess what? You can change your deductible to make your insurance go down. That means if you want to take a little bit more risk, right, then you can have a lower premium. Because what happens is everyone wants the $1,000 deductible. Well, on my home policy, I'm blessed to be in a situation right now, I can take a little bit more risk and have a higher deductible, which means I'll pay the first X amount of dollars of that claim, and then the insurance company will pay above it. So if I have a $1,000 deductible, that means anything over $1,000, the company's responsible for. But if you take on a $10,000 deductible, the insurance company's going to give you a break on a monthly basis to say, hey, guess what? Your premium goes down $400 a month because you're going to pay the first $10,000 of this claim. Mm. Now you're not using your insurance policy as a maintenance policy.
Yes.
Meaning, oh, my toilet overflowed. Dude, toilets overflow because you didn't go in and change the lever. You got to check and maintain your home at the same time. Because some of these things are accidents, but some of these things that we can take on as homeowners and as consumers to give ourselves better rates. But most times people don't know that. They just tell you the price is $70 and don't tell you what goes into that price. Not to go on a wild rant, but I think those are some of the things we can do is understand what goes into your policy and how you can effectively manipulate the price that works for you by taking on a higher deductible, by cutting out some additional coverages, or making sure you add additional coverages like backup sewer and drain. This is a coverage that's very, very overlooked. I'm not to go off, MG, but if your toilet backs up and overflows into your home and you don't have backup sewer and drain, this is one of the ways somebody in the comments will say the insurance company weaseled their way out of this by not paying this claim. No, your agent didn't tell you that that is an additional coverage that is very, very minuscule to pay for that you should have on your policy that'll cover you replacing your floors. Man. So these are things that we don't talk about, but we should.
What the fuck you call this shit? Backup sewer. I gotta go look at all these damn insurance policies and make sure I got backups because I've had some issues and I just paid for it. And I'm just like, wait, they got insurance for that shit too? Like now I have to go look at this to make sure I have backup sewage and like what is that?
Just think about when you build in a new community, MG. You develop it now, right? Like, you're building a new community. So in that new community, the developer owns the all of the plumbing and all of the sewage until it's completed, and then they turn it over to the city, right? So guess what has to happen before they turn it over to the city? The only reason I know this because it happened to me. We bought in a new community in Charlotte. When they turned the property over to the city, they had to blow the pipes out. So my wife was at home and she called me like, yo, I don't know what's going on, but all the damn toilets is overflowing. I said, put some Saran wrap over it. But half my neighbors, they were at work that day. My wife happened to be home that day. She didn't have school. And guess what? They had to file claims for all of the water that was backed up into the house.
Sheesh.
Things like that are little things that can go a long way from the insurance industry and gives us, the insurance professionals, a bad name because, MG, you've been in the mortgage business for years. And I said this to you and you said, oh, shit. What's that called?
Yeah.
These are things that make the insurance industry look bad because there's not enough education around the inner workings of the policy and how they work for you specifically.
That's why we're here tonight, because my next question to you, Kev, is what are these damn add-ons? And I need somebody in the chat to, when Kev is saying these add-ons, type them in chat, please, because we all need to, like, take a screenshot, picture, or something. Kev, what are these add-ons to insurance policy? Because this sewage package up and all this other stuff that Jeff just said, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, right? That was big. Jeff started with water backup. That's one of the most common claims that you have. You might pay $100 to get $25,000 of coverage. And what they're going to do, they're going to come in.
$100 a month or a year?
For the whole year. The whole year. Nothing. Pennies on. Think of insurance this way. All insurance is pennies on a dollar. $100 for the year to get $25,000 of water backup coverage. So if Jeff's scenario happens and there's poop all over the house, somebody's coming in to clean it up, to replace the floor and the walls, you're not out of pocket. I'll stay with Jeff's thought process. New communities, older communities. MG, we're in New York, Long Island. These are older communities. There were sewer lines. These houses were built post-World War II. What if the tree goes through the sewer line and cracks it? Sewer line coverage is a whole nother coverage that doesn't cost much. Maybe $50 or $100 to buy it. But if you don't have it and the tree root cracks the sewer and you got to pay somebody to dig down in your yard, oh, yeah, you're looking at 10 G's to start the conversation. So those are some of the conversations. One of the big things that I want to add in that policy review conversation, always keep it a buck with the insurance company. Everybody's coming up. Everybody here is working, trying to improve their house. You finish in your basement. Tell them. They don't know. You got a home office. Your home office business equipment, not covered. Not covered. If you are got all your PCs, you're sitting in your home office like I am tonight, you podcasting at home, all that's in there, not covered. Tell them what you have. Musicians, beat makers, all of the expense of $10,000, $25,000 in your house or your apartment, not covered. If you use it to make money, it's not covered. Tell them what you have so they can give you the best protection. Then you decide. But back to your point, MG, your original question was, how can people shop for insurance? Three ways. Number one, go online. Find cheap insurance. Find affordable insurance, however you want to Google it. The sponsored companies, the big companies that you see advertised on sporting events, they're going to come up first. Underneath that, your local agents that are active will come up. Give them a shout. Captive agent, brokered agent, excuse me, or a combination of both. I'm a captive Allstate agent, but I also have access to Wright Home Insurance with many other companies. Let them shop for you. Jeff is talking about remarketing. Sometimes when the price is not right, we got to shop for you to find it and tell you, MG, I looked three places. This is best for you. This is the reason why it's best for you. So I wanted to share that. Talk about your renovations and updates. People are making money and flipping their houses. They're making it better. There are some major companies. If you bought your house 20 years ago and the replacement cost was $217,000, today is still $217,000. Meanwhile, it costs $750 to rebuild your house. If you look at your policy and that's you, run. you are in trouble. Yeah, the price is low. Yeah, somebody's going to cost more, but you can replace it. Pay more money now. And some of you are listening on behalf of your parents and elders in your family. MG teaches constantly about generational wealth. Have these conversations. Ask them, are they having a hard time and can you help? It's better to help now to help hold on to chip in a few dollars. And lastly, I'll restate again, if you can't find anybody local and reputable to represent you and have this conversation, get into business. Jeff and I, we both are not only insurance agents, insurance brokers, we both coach and mentor people into the business. Work with me, work with Jeff, reach out to us, DM us, let us show you the ropes and get in the game. It's not about you working for my company or Jeff's company. It's about having more voices in this business. In my coaching space, my mission statement is this. I want to help 1,000 people to help 1,000 people and impact 1 million lives. I don't care what company you represent. As long as you learn this business and you insure people the right way, I know millions of people will be better served because I coached you into the business. And that's all I need from it.
So
MG, let me add, I just want to add two more coverages to pay attention to, and I'm going to be off my soapbox because Kev talked about the $217,000 home being $217,000 later. There's an inflation guard protection that's on that can be added to each home policy that will make your home policy go up 3% up to 5%, depending on your market every year, to make sure your replacement cost keeps pace with inflation or the replacement cost to build that new home if something were to happen. So inflation guard is one. And I talked about earlier not using your home policy as a maintenance policy. Insurers have gotten hip to this because a lot of consumers don't understand. But your policy at times will cover mechanical breakdown. Mechanical breakdown coverage in your policy will cover, let's say your furnace goes out and it may be a $500 deductible that you pay. Guess what? That's better than you going out to the company and they're charging you $4,000. So it covers some major appliances in your home and it will detail which appliances it covers. So I just wanted to leave that, Jim, to let you know that inflation guard and mechanical breakdown are additional coverages that I personally think each person on this call should look at their policy and think they and make sure that they have. And the last thing is, Kev talked about the gas lines not being covered. Just so you understand what he means by that is, if there's a pipe in your home, it's covered. The part that's not covered is the part that goes from your front door to the street. That is considered your pipe. The gas company will give you coverage for that pipe. If they send you a bill, you can buy it from them or you can buy it through your home policy. So just make sure once it hits the street, it's the city's property. The part between your front door and the street is your responsibility for older homes because those things crack and those things are big tubular pipes that are expensive to replace. That's my soapbox, MG. I'm gonna leave you on that one.
Man, inflation guard, y'all. I'm going to go back and rewatch this because inflation guard protection, like that, I've never even heard of this shit. And I've been doing this for 20-something years. And this is stuff that, honestly, I didn't even know that I needed to ask to see if this was in my policies and stuff like that. Because insurance, like, just to be honest, man, when you go for insurance, they just want the house address, maybe if you got the copy of the appraisal, right? They're not asking questions.
It's a commodity, bro. Right? No, let's not say they're not asking questions.
They're not.
Some people aren't asking questions.
Well, the people who might know about this shit is asking questions, but like I can tell you for me, I didn't know there was an inflation guard insurance where if the homes and inflation is going up, my policy and all this other stuff automatically goes up 3-5% to combat the inflation to make sure, God forbid, something happens, my replacement cost is where it needs to be. Like, That's nuts that they don't even mention none of this stuff, especially over the past 4 or 5 years when inflation, hell, we got CPI data coming out tomorrow. Like we know now when CPI data is coming out, right? Yeah. We're paying attention to inflation now. And these insurance companies are not talking about this. Like, this is nuts to me that this type of information has to come out when there's a natural disaster and you have people like me who choose to have these type of conversations that are seen, quote unquote, boring. But this is valuable information. And I hope everybody who's watching this in the chat definitely getting some gems from this. If you are, throw some gems in the comment. But I want to ask you guys, last question, because we're coming up on an hour, and I told y'all 45 minutes, but y'all blowing my mind with all this information that you're giving me right now. My question to you is, and this is for both of you, Kev, you can go first. LA wildfires, how do you think that's going to impact homeowners nationwide with their insurance policies moving forward? Because I truly believe that all of our policies are going to increase. These insurance companies are about to shell out billions and billions and billions of dollars, right? And they're going to make us pay for it. That's just my personal opinion. I want to hear from the experts. This is your field. This is what you do every day. Kev, what's your thoughts on that?
I would agree 100%. It's definitely going to impact everybody's rate because everybody has exposure to different natural disasters. This time, LA, which I love, got hit by wildfires. But everybody is exposed. This is a weird time. I'm not knowledgeable enough to speak on things like global warming. But what I do know is that the South shut down last week because it snowed. I do know it snowed in Texas and Georgia last week. I do know that different natural disasters happen in places that people don't expect. So there's always going to be rate adjustments to pay for that. MG, I've heard you talk about it before. If you're going to buy a home, it's not for the meek. Be prepared. If I can drop one last gem beyond the rates, and MG said it earlier in his conversation, please do not, if you don't want to get dropped or non-renewed within your control, do not use insurance policies as a come up. Do not file minor claims. I have a great rule of thumb that any of you can use. Only file a claim when the insurance company is going to spend more money than you. What do I mean by that? Jeff said earlier, most people have a $1,000 deductible. Pretty common for me, Jeff. That's what we sell as well. Well, if a kid breaks a window in your home with a ball and the new window is going to cost $1,100 to replace it, you're going to spend $1,000 and the insurance company is going to spend $100. Don't do that. Don't file the claim. Call your agent and have a conversation and get advice. Swipe for $1,100, write a check for $1,100 and call it a day. Save your claims for big things. Save your claim. MG said he does a lot out of his pocket. He didn't know. That's actually good because you don't want to come up as someone with two very minor claims. You got $1,000 here, $700 there. Now you're being non-renewed because you're a frequent flyer. No, don't do that. Go over your coverage, find out what you had, add the additional coverages we discussed. But wait until you get hit. You want to use your home insurance for your $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 claim, not for your twos and threes. MG, thank you for having me on tonight. I hope some people got some gems and some value out of whatever I was able to contribute to this conversation.
Jeff, your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts are more in depth from a standpoint of it's still too complicated to say yes. We're going to pay for everything that happened in California. And I'm going to give you a couple reasons why. Every state has a department insurance commissioner, right? So the companies have to ask the state if they can increase rates. And the Department of Insurance commissioner in Virginia and New York may absolutely say, no, you may not increase rates. We're not approving that rate. So the company will have to either leave the state or go with the rates that are approved. That's number one. The second part of this, a lot of people are, I'm thinking about just my friends, like what's going to happen? Are they going to pay out? Is it, how are they going to do it? Everyone sees State Farm, for example, and thinks State Farm brings in all the money that they bring in to one bank account. It's not how it works. State Farm, just like every other insurance company out there, creates separate companies or business entities for each line of business that they have. If you are a really, really good business risk, you may be in State Farm Mutual Company. If you are a mediocre risk, you may be in State Farm Standard Company. So what happens is the money that's going to be paid out are going to come from the premiums and profits for each one of those companies. So guess what? If let's say what happened in California happens and State Farm Standard Company had the most claims and most losses, that company could go bankrupt and not impact the overall company, but it still is going to be responsible to pay out. And then there's a state fund set aside and reinsurance set aside to make sure that the in the event that every dollar you take in, you may have to have $3 in reserves. So the company should be solvent enough to pay claims. And this happened after Hurricane Andrew, I believe, in Florida, that almost bankrupt every insurance company across the nation. So MG, hopefully that gives people a little bit more insight. It doesn't mean that what's happening is right, because I don't agree with all the things that are happening on the insurance side, but it doesn't mean that why it's happening doesn't have a root cause. And some of it lies on the Department of Insurance Commissioners in the name of politicizing things and being consumer protective are not allowing the companies to explain why they need the right rate because of situations like this. Right. Overall, MG, I hopefully I dropped some gems on you guys and gave you the knowledge. If anybody needs anything, MG, you know me, man. Reach out to me. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to go find the answer. And by all means, I just want you guys to understand if you have issues, go to your Department of Insurance Commissioner first. Search that DOI Commissioner and know who it is for your state. So when you have issues, you can know why. But also make sure we as consumers understand that State Farm Fire Company is different than State Farm Auto Company. So when one has the claims, they can bankrupt one, create another one, and start all over again. That's how business in America has worked. Our future president has bankrupted how many companies and still claims to be a billionaire. So just get you guys to understand, ask more questions, be more involved. And if you don't know, ask people, come get it. We'll help you as much as we can.
Yeah, ask more questions is the key. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I fucking learned from this today, because all these add-ons that you were saying, from gas pipes to inflation to water and sewer baggage, and it's $100, $50 for a year to cover $20,000, $30,000 worth of damage. Like, personally, I didn't know any of this stuff before this conversation. So for me, I got a lot of insight out of this. I want everybody here, make sure you guys like this video, share it with 10 people. And if you got value from this conversation, definitely drop some gems in the comments for my guys, Jeff and Kev, because this was a lot of information, man. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in LA. You know, I just want to make that clear. You know, I'm trying to defend no insurance companies or anything like that. My role in this is just simply to provide information, because I want to learn about this stuff too, right? I have a lot of clients in California. I have friends in LA. I know people who lost property, businesses, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody out there, man. And I just hope everybody can rebuild from this. And one of the things I want to talk about too, real quick, because this question has been coming up a lot to me, is people are asking me, what happens to your mortgage, right? If your house burns down, what happens to the mortgage? Ladies and gentlemen, you still owe the debt, right? The mortgage did not burn down because the house burned down. You took out a loan, the debt is there. But what you need to do is call your servicer. If you call your servicing lender, the bank that you're paying the mortgage to, they can, some services will. I'm not going to say all services. Every service is different dependent on what type of loan you have and who purchased that loan from that bank in the secondary market, right? But if you're talking FHA, conventional loans, VA loans, you can do probably some sort of pausing your mortgage payments, some sort of forbearance agreement, some sort of modification where they're, because of this natural disaster, and I'm sure under Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's natural disaster guidelines, this is definitely going to qualify as one, right? That they're going to pause your mortgage payments. Now, you need to ask questions. I think the most important lesson I got from this is asking questions. When you call your service and lender, and if they say that they can pause your mortgage payments, you need to ask them, what happens after? If they pause it for 3 months, if they pause it for 6 months, if they pause it for 12 months, 18 months, that's still mortgage monies that is missing, right? Does that money go onto the back end of your mortgage? Do you need to pay a lump sum to catch yourself up, right? Do you have to pay a little bit extra every single month and increase your mortgage payment to catch back up? Does it get reported in a negative way to your credit bureaus to where it could impact your credit scores, right? These are just some of the questions that you guys need to ask if you are going to any forbearance, modification, pausing your mortgage type of agreement with your servicing lender. Ask the question of what is going to happen when things resume back to normal or when this moratorium ends for whatever you negotiate with them, right? You have to ask questions because, again, you are in a legal debt that you have to pay. And a lot of these banks, they may be tied, like their hands might be tied behind their back and they can't do much because of the type of loan. Like if you have like some sort of non-traditional financing, some sort of private money or something like that, there might not be much that the bank that you pay your mortgage can do because they have investors on the back end, right? That they have to answer to because the money was sold to them, right? So ask questions, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. But that mortgage is still due, unfortunately. And some way or another, it's going to have to get paid. So I hope this information was very helpful for you guys tonight. Shout out to my brothers, Jeff, Kev. Tell them how to follow you guys real quick. Kev, go real quick, and then Jeff, after you.
Yes, sir. YouTube at Wind Down with Kev. IG at Wind Down with Kev or Kevin Spann _ Insurance Guru. Reach out to me, DM, hit me up anytime. If I can help anybody with anything, I am there for you. God bless. All the best. Again, MG, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Kev. Jeff, go ahead, bro.
Jeff at GrangerFinancial.com is my email. At Jeff Granger Jr. on Instagram. Our business Instagram is at Granger Financial. Listen, I'm available, bro. This is what I do and what I love to do is educate my folks on how we can help. So anything I can do to help, answer a question, don't matter what state you're in. I held a Zoom for 40 of my friends that live in California and just explained how to look at their insurance policy. One of the things, Kev, I'm not going to let you get off this call about doing what you said you was going to do about renters. If you don't own a home.
Ooh. Oh, let's talk about that real quick.
Kev, you got to leave that. I'm done. I'm done. Thank you guys for reaching out for letting me be on this call. But Kev, I'm not going to steal that from you. Drop that gem before we can end.
Let's give that last gem for the renters out there who might be impacted by these LA fires. What can the renters do?
Biggest gem I can drop. Renters, get some renters insurance first thing in the morning. It is so doggone affordable. For about $20 to $25 a month, you probably can get $50,000 worth of your personal property protected. Get some renters insurance first thing in the morning. You don't have to own to get homeowners insurance. Renters, co-op owners, condo owners, get some insurance first thing in the morning. Very affordable. Not only does it protect your stuff, but the most important thing I've delivered on in my career in insurance is making sure that families can stay together. So right now in the wildfires, those families that are displaced, I heard one man say that his son called from college and said, "Dad, I want to come home." And he said, "Son, we don't have a home to come to." So son is staying there. Wifey's there. He's here. Don't do that. Having renter's insurance, any home insurance, will put the whole family in a hotel or a comparable apartment anywhere, and y'all would be together. If you stay together, you can make it through anything, That's my last lesson, Jeff. Thank you for that prompt. I appreciate it.
That was good information, fellas. Man, I appreciate y'all for coming on tonight. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Shout out to Jeff and Kev, man. My insurance guys, make sure you guys tap in with them. This was a good episode. Make sure you guys like, comment, share, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and share this with at least 10 people, right? This information could be a lifeline, like I said in the beginning of this video, for somebody. I know me personally, I've learned a lot from tonight, and I hope you guys learned a lot as well. Make sure you go download Rants and Gems on all podcast audio outlets. The audio of this video will be uploaded in the morning. We'll be back here 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, right? So we're going to come on Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Make sure you tap in with me. Stay blessed. I love y'all. Appreciate the support. Peace.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.